Good morning, everyone. Today is February 22nd, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for our weekly business session. We'll start as we always do with the Pledge of Allegiance, so please rise and gentlemen, remove your hats. Reminds me of a gentleman who used to come here pretty regularly every time I hear that. I really appreciate people coming this morning. If you have a cell phone, if you can be so kind as to put it on silent or vibrate, I'm sure appreciate it, not interrupting the meeting as we're going through it. What we're going to do is we're going to go through, review the admin calendar, and if you have an agenda or need to get one, they're in the back. It's a pretty short agenda here today. We're going to review those two items, and then we'll take public comment, and then we'll come back and take action on those two items. Before moving into the consent calendar and other items before the board has finished. So the first item on the agenda is administrative action number 1A. It's approval of addendum to jail services contract between Josephine County and the City of Grants Pass. This would be spoken to by our sheriff or liaison to the sheriff's department, which is Commissioner Dan DeYoung. Unfortunately, Dan got waylaid on a tour with animal control that went into uncharted territory, and he hasn't made it back yet, so we're crossing our fingers that he comes back.
Is that last week, or is he?
Yeah, no, it was just earlier this morning, so I think it took a little longer than he expected. Sometimes easy to forget that we're 1,642 square miles, about 1,050,000 acres, so I'm sure he's out someplace, and hopefully he comes back. But this is an extension of an existing contract that was started a number of years ago. It's with the City of Grants Pass, and I believe it provides for specifically 28 jail beds to be utilized by the public safety of Grants Pass, our jail. Due to the downturn in funding that we had as a result of timber dollars no longer being available in secure rural schools, we've had to reduce the jail cap. When I took office, it was at 160. Today it's at 130. However, without this contract, it would be closer to 100. That sounds like a lot of beds, but honestly, a far majority of those are actually contracted out. They're done through Community Corrections has 10. I wish I had the list of everybody who's renting space, so to speak, at our jail facility, which really is a good thing, and Sheriff Daniels has gone a long way to improve that. Trying to distribute the fixed cost of operating a jail over as many people who other people are paying for in our jail. It still leaves a population for county incarceration, but it's really just those higher level of offenses, Measure 11 and such. I think he was mentioning at a meeting the other day, he had 9-11 people that were either suspected of murder or some sort of a pretty violent crime. They're all pre...
There's 25 Measure 11, 9 and 8 for murder, and 3 more for attempted or manslaughter, so it's a high number.
Yeah, it's all maxed out with people that have done, potentially done, not so good things. They're all pre-trial, so once they're convicted or found innocent, they're released or sent to a state facility. Any duration of incarceration over here, we don't have them. This covers, like I said, up to about 28, and that would have qualified for lower level offenders that really just need to be taken off the street for a while. With the district attorney kind of thing processed. So it's a positive thing for Grants Pass. I think a lot of the counties, crime rate happens in the county, and they've got a pretty good public safety service, so that matches pretty well. It's all a law enforcement system. You kind of got to have it in balance. If you don't have a jail, then you're really hamstrung trying to get people to do the right thing if they're going to break the law. So that's all a long story to say that we're going to renew this contract. It's for the duration of a year. However, you may have heard that there's a levy that the board has proposed to the Florida voters that passes a dozen. This will be in place. If it does pass, this contract will be amended of the problem that we have right now is Alpha County has just kind of been a revolving door. They either are brought in or they're not brought in at all. We want to try to fix that. That's the goal. And so we're extending this contract. Item number 1B is being brought to us by our esteemed manager of our airports, Mr. Larry Graves. It's approval of contract between Josephine County and Siskiyou Cascade Construction Incorporated for clearing and grubbing, the very official term, of the Grants Pass Airport West Hangar Taxi Lane Project 3. Never short titles.
Interesting title. Clearing and grubbing. So this is one of several contracts that's associated with a capital improvement project at the Grants Pass Airport. This is a federally funded project. The FAA is paying for about 90% of this work, and the additional 10% of match money is likely to be supplied by State Oregon ASAP program, applied for. And I'm hearing positive things about the likelihood of that coming through. So very little risk to the county. Going to be removing basically all the trees and shrubs from about a 5-acre area on the inside airport property, relocating some transmission lines. Pacific Power is doing that. And I would ask that the commissioners, as we've discussed several public meetings prior to this, agree to the contract. It's about $96,000 contract.
One of the nice things that you were mentioning earlier. Doing these things, all the admin things that we were talking about today, we reviewed 6 days prior on Thursday, giving the public an opportunity to weigh in, say, what are you doing this for? You should be spending money on that. But one of the positive things was this company is a local company, and they came in significantly under everybody else. Because this is what they do. They're loggers or this is cutting down trees is their core competency.
Yeah, that's a good point. We did receive 6 bids on this contract, and 5 other bids had the actual clearing and grubbing work being subbed out. And so it turns out there was quite a load placed on top of that number, and after a lot of questioning and back and forth with the low bidder, because I was a little bit concerned that they might not be able to perform the job to specification, and it turns out that this is all they do. This is their special.
Right.
They're very confident. They have the right equipment.
Yeah.
No, thank you for being diligent with that.
I'm pretty excited about this being not step one. We've taken a lot of steps before here, but getting an east side taxiway and the ability to make our runway a lot safer. People going up and down, you know, trying to take off or land while somebody's taxiing on the runway isn't ideal. I don't think you want people in the way when you're trying to land up on the plane and have that. So having that east side taxiway is going to provide for private hangar development on that side of people who are interested, been interested for quite some time. So it's kind of a long time coming, but here we go. So thank you very much. I appreciate you coming forward.
Thank you for your time.
Great. We're going to move on to item number 2, which is requests and comments from citizens. Please just state your name and general locale. You don't need to give your street address specifically. You'll be provided 3 minutes on any site. Just raise your hand and we'll get to everybody here today.
Regarding the jail services contract, I would hope that the city will continue it even if the levy passes, because it gives the city some power of its own over a certain number of jail beds. And before they had this contract, they couldn't jail misdemeanors, even way back when we were supposedly fully funded. We weren't. We've never been fully funded for the last 30 years. We're in a have been in a jail emergency all that time. So it would help the city to be able to jail misdemeanors, whether the county wants to or not. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
George Backus from Grants Pass, Oregon. In 2015, the Sugar Pine Mine was involved in a conflict with BLM. And the Constitution of the United States protected me and the people around us. I want to thank the oath keepers at the time for protecting and helping us. There was no standoff. The oath keepers were there to protect our equipment and our mining equipment and our cabin. We have since found out through a FOIA, which don't look good for BLM, they knew from the very start this 1853 mine had a full title and had their surface rights. The letter states that. But we're still tied up in IBLA court on a decision that could take years. This brought me to believing in the Constitution so much, I have going to resign. I haven't. I'm going to resign from Belize Creek Mining District. I put Belize Creek Mining District back in order about 5 years ago. But I'm going to devote my time to the Constitution of the United States. And I'm going to devote my time to getting the Constitution back in our schools to be taught. I have a list of laws from the government, several. And the BLM and the Forest Service, in these laws, have to give a class to each and every one of their employees, which they are not doing. And the schools are not teaching the Constitution in school like they should. I turned one of these in to the desk yesterday, but I'd like to hand this to the commissioners.
Great.
I feel that it's so important to teach our new generation the Constitution. I believe that in Portland, all the protests that are going on, 90% of those people do not know the Constitution. They do not know that Trump got elected fair and square. And I think if everybody could know this Constitution, have a notion there is a Constitution, and I would like the help from the commissioners to maybe help us try to get this going with the school boards. I don't know if you can do anything, but I think you talking to the school board will help. We're going to go to the school board. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else, Mr. Sullivan?
Good morning, Commissioners. Mark Seligman, Selma, Oregon. A little news item on KJO website last week regarding SRS payments. I don't know if Commissioner Hare or Commissioner Morgan saw this. But 76 legislators throughout the United States, three local statewide legislators, are going to bat for the counties with reauthorization, hopefully, so you can have funding. It's curious the Daily Courier has not reported this at all. I'm wondering if it has anything to do with their support for the levy. I hope the commissioners are aware of 76 legislators, bipartisan. And interestingly, Greg Walden is not among them, because Greg Walden and Commissioner Hare feel likewise. They aren't going to support reauthorization because they want levies. I know Simon Hare does. Greg Walden, it's just interesting where he fought in the past and now he's quiet. So all Republicans should protest Greg Walden's non-action. This is not dead. To say to the voters that reauthorization payments is dead is not true. Okay, to go on. Commissioners DeYoung and Morgan in their campaign promised to listen to the voters. They said we would abide by the voters' decisions on the levy. You know, your word is your bond. Trust in government is based upon public officials not misleading the public. When you say one thing and 2-3 months later you do the opposite, or as Commissioner DeYoung said, well, I changed my mind, I wasn't aware. people don't believe you're not aware. You're a city council. You're aware more than anybody else about city and county finances. So that, to me, that doesn't, you know, really wash. I personally didn't believe what Commissioners DeYoung and Morgan said. A leopard never changes their spots, and they have been for every single city and county tax levy that we've ever had. But they said they listened to the voters, so that's not really what is happening. Another little element, Commissioner Hare is putting on the ballot an advisory measure. I don't know if you realize, regarding cannabis growing, recreational growing, and RR5, the state might make it more difficult for medical growers to grow. If they do that, people can slide into what's called a small canopy recreational grow. If the county prohibits it, you put these people in a box. They can't do the medical, they can't do the recreational on RR5. You're entitled to have, I don't know if you're aware of that, you're entitled to time, place, and manner reasonable restrictions. Paul Wilson feels that your prohibition and Jackson County's prohibition approach is unreasonable, and he will fight you to the core, just like growers will fight you to the core if this advisory ballot happens.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Only Mr. Rice, give me a heads up. I think you've got a commute.
Good morning. Tony Minton, Wolf Creek, Oregon. We keep going to the same well with these levies all the time. Why not try something new? Why not pass an ordinance where every household has to, with legal age, has to own a gun, and some people must carry? I know you can't enforce it, but just put that ordinance out there. It might get the criminal element to think that they might get their butt shot off and may leave the county. Thank you.
Good morning, Joseph Rice, Josephine County. I'm here as the chair of the 2nd Congressional District for the Oregon Republican Party. One thing I'd like to inform the commissioners on, in the Josephine County Republican Party meeting this past Saturday, there were three resolutions adopted in support of land access and rights within Josephine County. The first was the Josephine County Republican Party is opposed to the 201,000 acre mineral withdrawal that took place in the exiting of the past administration. In doing so, it's been found the BLM and the United States Forest Service are not in compliant with NEPA in that administrative withdrawal. The second was they oppose BLM's unwillingness to coordinate with the sitting commissioners and county legal counsel in regards to forest management. BLM policy mandates that they must coordinate to consensus with the local government entity, and as we are well aware, they have never shown up and they just meet county legal counsel's requests with silence. The third is the support of private property rights within Josephine County and the abusive nature of the U.S. Attorney's Office in their overreach. Currently, and I've spoken with Commissioner DeYoung on this, the U.S. Forest Service and Matt Pechorek have filed a civil action lawsuit on a 73-year-old woman on Slate Creek because she had the audacity to put up a gate on her privately owned land and property to protect herself and be secure. The Forest Service does have an easement across her property. She has provided with the key. The Forest Service has a lock on her gate, yet now they are saying she must apply to the United States Forest Service to get a permit for that gate on her privately owned land. With that, I would ask this body to have Mr. Pechorek come in and explain where they have that authority to demand a permit on privately owned property in Josephine County. That's outside the purview of the federal government. Once again, they are not in compliance with NEPA. The final thing is I'd like to support Mr. Baucus. Oath Keepers has now reorganized to Liberty Watch of Josephine County. And in the last 2 years, we've passed out 9,000 pocket constitutions free of charge. A lot of them have been to school teachers because they did not have the resource in the classroom. With the boat neck this year, we expect to go through 10,000. And that's been our community support. It's good to see that we're returning to a constitutional form of government with the new administration. So that's an update what's going on with Republicans, and I ask the commissioners, I'll send you the documents so you have it in reference. Thank you.
We'll reach out to Mr. Richmond. Anyone else? Yes,
my name is Kevin Figgeth. I live on Elliott Creek Road.
What's your last name?
Figgeth. I'm here as a grandfather, really, today. I'm not really representing any group. My t-shirt says I do. And I'd like to see my grandkids grow up in this county as, you know, being taught about the Constitution like we did in fourth grade in Ashland. And I think it's so important that these young kids know what their God-given rights are, that is a gift that cannot be taken away. And I would encourage the commissioners to draft a letter and send to the school board and tell them that they need to be in compliance with all the laws and educating our kids, our young kids, in this matter. It's what America stands for, and I believe our future is so important, and our kids are the most important part of that at this time.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass. I rarely respond to other things that I've read, but there was an article or a letter to the editor, I believe it was in Friday's paper, that brought up the same thing that we've been that people have been talking about for several years, and that's stripping the money from the public works and giving it to the sheriff's department to hire deputies. The problem with that being, by the time we get a deputy's trained and on the road, they'll be out of money, and so will public works. This year is a perfect example of why we need a reserve for public works. With the rain we've had, the landslides, the trees down on the lower river road, upper river road this year, the blowout at Raptor Creek Farms. There's a reason there's a reserve in the public works, and that's for these type of incidents. It would be ludicrous, also, that's the nicest term I can come up with, to take that money and give it to the sheriff to train and hire deputies. This won't work. That letter also mentioned kind of derogatory toward the BCC as far as putting forward a levy. I believe that is your job to bring solutions to the county, and it's our job as citizens to either accept or reject them. I felt a long time that, you know, that's our right to either vote for or against these levies or taxes or whatever else comes on the ballot. And I believe it's your job as a BCC to at least put these ideas forward. The sheriff department is in kind of a really bad place, and it's going to get worse, whether or not we do the secure roads schools or not. I believe it's short term, and I think the right way to get this back in balance is to support Walden and some of the Republicans. It's time to take the land that the federal government owns or mismanages on the western United States and put it back into state and county hands. We'll do a much better job than they can. I don't believe the senators from the east believe this or understand it, because I worked back there for 10 years for a company I used to work for. Most of the lands east of the Mississippi are in private, with the exception of the Allegheny National Forest in upstate New York. The federal government does not manage them. Timber is a private industry. It needs to be that way in the western United States also. I do believe we have a plan that was put together several years ago for timber management. They said it cost, I think, $17 million, probably closer to 30 if you really did the math and looked at things. They set it on the shelf and didn't use it, because because there was a certain small amount of people who make money suing the federal government over timber sales. And those people are still there. It's time to change that. And it's time to if they want to sue, let them pay for it, not me as a taxpayer. Thank you.
I appreciate the desire to have our kids study the Constitution. I find that I put an app on my phone so that I can quickly access and look up some of the things. And it's also, I have booklets in my office that if people want. I agree that it's important to study and remember our history and where we came from so that we don't forget and thus repeat some of the mistakes that we have with the past. I think reaching out to the school district is a reasonable thing that both individually or as a board that we could look at. I don't know that they're not following the laws currently, but I think that we can at least say we do support the studying of the Constitution. I know that at least in the school district here in town when I was growing up, eighth grade was when you studied U.S. history, and that's really when they focused on that. I'm not sure about the Three Rivers School District, but I agree that it is important. This weekend I spent time with my nieces and nephew up north, and I was learning about the French Revolution all over because she's in sixth grade and that's what my niece is studying. But I'd rather have it be the Constitution. But finding a way for it to be interesting was a critical part of that. They found a way to link a song with the Revolution stuff, and so they're remembering and singing along, and like, okay, that's, I still remember the 50 nifty United States and from fifth grade because of the song that we sung along with it. So I think there's ways that we can make the Constitution interesting as well for our kids. So I like that idea. I would have to say to Mr. Minton, I believe strongly in gun ownership. I believe that it is a right, constitutionally protected right for us to own firearms. At the same time, having been somebody who's been in a career that carries a firearm, there is a responsibility that goes with that that I don't take lightly. And pointing a firearm at another individual is something that does something. You have to kind of resolve. You have to kind of deal with that. And I don't want that burden to be on anybody if they don't want that burden. It's not something I take lightly. I think of my grandmother, who was quite capable and was quite a shot in her younger days. But at her age, I don't think that's the answer for her to solve all the law enforcement that she might face. She was dealing with people stealing trees on her property. She's dealing with people doing other things and small stuff that a gun's not right, necessarily the right solution. But I do strongly believe in people's rights to bear arms, and I will defend that. I don't want to force that on somebody else. But looking at other options is important. We're going to continue to look for revenue sources. It's not my goal to have it be on taxpayers' backs. But at the same time, I believe it is, again, going back to the Constitution of a common defense, of general welfare, of tranquility, and that comes to being safe in our community and having those services provided. Thank you for the update, Mr. Rice, on the other issues. I haven't met the gentleman from the Forest Service, but I know somebody who has, so we have an opportunity to follow up with that. Mr. Ford, you are right. It is our responsibility to provide solutions to the community and them to make the call. We can't force a choice on the community. We can only provide the information and provide the options and allow them to come back. Mr. Seligman, I appreciate that you believe you know the truth, but your interpretation of it is not accurate, and you've continued to say things about me in the last 18 months that are not exactly accurate, but what you believe them to be true, and so I'm going to respectfully disagree, and I appreciate, though, that you are diligent and passionate about coming forth and sharing your fears and your concerns about the community, but it doesn't mean it's truth, so I appreciate that you have an interpretation of events in the last year, but I'm going to disagree.
Brown, the whole purpose of us referring this as a county is to accommodate. I appreciate what you're saying, but I believe the intent of what the sheriff is proposing that we put forward to the voters will accomplish what you're looking to do with the cities, having that option of bringing in people. Everybody who's found in need of law enforcement's attention for a point until proven guilty is gonna have that opportunity to reside in our jail if this passes. So you're right, we haven't been at that capacity for quite some time. I do believe there was a time in our past where we did have people incarcerated in that one. When I took office, the cap, like I said, was 160. The number of people in the jail the day I took office was 154. And so it was right there. And the sheriff believes that he can, you know, it moves up and down quite a bit, even in a given day. And so having that 185, you know, the general population may be around 150, 160, but you've got to have the staffing levels and the capacity to if that's necessary. I'm going to trust his judgment on that. Mr. Bacchus, I can't imagine what it's been like to go through this process and then to be put into a federal court system that isn't, in my opinion, a true court system. It's the IBLA. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And for what I've heard about mining situations not even being adjudicated on mining law, just begs the question of, is that a real court system that's evaluating this? And I have no doubt that given enough time, unfortunately, it's time. You know, the legal case, I guess what some people say makes this country great is also one of its greatest weaknesses, the endless appeals and judiciary process. It's not perfect, and I know there's abuses on the other side, but this just seems kind of crazy. We will reach out to Mr. Petrork on your other issue. I don't know that that's going to be able to be accomplished in public session as if civil law action has been taken, but I'm definitely interested in that. My parents' place borders right up against BLM land, and I wouldn't want to be restricted or need to get a permit in order to put up a gate in that situation. And I know I've been out to Slate Creek. We just replaced a bridge out there about a year ago. A lady stopped me on the bridge, and we spent a couple hours together out there in the mist and the rain talking about the situation. And it just boggles my mind how these things can go on. And honestly, with the support of some of the law enforcement in this county, it's just like, really? I must be missing something here, because the story that I got and I've been told doesn't add up that this is even happening in our county. It begs a question. Mr. Seligman, the whole board referred, you know, this is going to Miss Commissioner DeYoung's point. You're misleading. And I think that's unfortunate for the people that want to subscribe to something you've got to say. The full board, first advisory questions, I don't have the authority as one person, and that's what you said, that I am referring a question to the voters on cannabis restriction on in rural residentially zoned properties. It's just an advisory question. We've spent a lot of time, I know our community development department has, and I really don't want to, we don't have the staff to be inefficient. If the population of Josephine County is not interested in restricting residential zone properties from recreational cannabis use, then I don't have to be barking up that tree. That's all this means. So Mr. Wilson, you know, he can have his opinion at the state level, and I appreciate his championing some of these efforts at the state level where they honestly should originate. You know, as one county, we're going to do what we can to accommodate the people that live here who either do or do not want cannabis grown in their neighborhoods for a recreational purpose. Personal use and medical use is not on the table, not part of this question. As the legislation changes, if there are further restrictions on Oregon medical marijuana, I don't know about that. That's the session's really early. You know, they haven't even tackled their $1.8 billion shortfall. They've got big fish to fry this year in the legislature, and so we'll see what they do, and I'm not even going to pretend to try to discern where they're at right now. Mr. Rice, I want to appreciate you bringing the issue of coordination forward. It seems like a small issue to be talking about really, but when you look at the counties in the state that are applying this really effectively, I think it's been a really good thing. The board has approved get the coordination plan, which I really think is foundational, but we need that committee of people. I talked to Owyhee County. I've been over to Ohio. I traveled all the way over there, and well, I was over there for a different reason, but I crossed the border and talked to those people, and they've got a committee of 60 people that work on this issue, because nobody's an expert in everything. I might have timber stuff, but I don't have mining or off-road recreation or the horse people, fishing people. All of those people, those interests, even the conservation community, has an opportunity and a right to sit on that committee to direct the board about how we interact with these federal agencies. And I really want to get that established as soon as possible, because that's the meat behind the plan to drive it forward. Drafting a letter to the school boards, I'm gonna encourage the board to do that. I think it's a great idea to encourage the Constitution. But it's not just the Constitution. There's a whole host of laws that fall in place that provide people the opportunity. And their rights, in my opinion, yes, endowed by God, but it's our responsibility. If we don't utilize those rights and make sure that every opportunity that we engage with law enforcement is done in a civil, respectful, but constitutional manner, that's where it's eroded. It's at that point in contact in my mind. Honestly, I'm not as much of an expert as I'd like to be. I know that John Chambers has done a tremendous amount to educate people in this community about that, and I need to give up a portion of my Saturday every once in a while to give these reasons, because I think that they would be really well served, certainly as my patients. I'd also like to just couch the letter on what can we do to help the school boards, because I feel like they're under a tremendous amount of pressure. The boards are people that volunteer. Some of them I know, they're just really interested in that next generation that's being groomed by public schools and private schools, and they got a lot of responsibility, and I think there's a tremendous amount of weight on their shoulders. And so what can we do to help come alongside of them? I think that's a good attitude to have. Mr. Ford, I totally agree with you. We don't have a public reserve. When you look at the neighboring counties and what they've got as a reserve, and they're dipping in under $41.75 for road dollars, they've got a margin of error that's greater than ours. Ours is about a $2.5 million on a good day reserve. Not all of that may be appropriated to the public safety system. I know Klamath County is right around $90, $95, $96 million in their road reserve fund. They've got a lot of unpaved roads over there and people who are okay with driving on. The same thing with Curry County. I would say they were cutting unpaved roads, but they've got $29 million in road reserve. And I don't remember what Douglas County has, but they're the largest recipient of these federal timber dollars, and I can only imagine it is just right up there with Curry and Klamath County. For whatever reason, we don't have that. I inherited that position 6-7 years ago. There's nothing to do about it now. The water's been let out of the dam. But be fiscally responsible with the last remaining dollars that we have, so that if there is another bridge that goes out, we don't even know what the foundations are going to look like under the other 99 bridges that have high water still. That one was the bridge, the name escapes me, but maybe Commissioner Warren will remember. It was rated 92, Sand Creek, which is what are you going to put the foundation on but sand and Sand Creek? It was rated really high. One of our highest, most quality bridges in all the 100 bridges that we have to maintain in our infrastructure. Now, we had to close it down. And so it can happen just like that. I don't want to suppose that in that situation, there are other opportunities to use that. There's a lot of bridges in Josephine County, but that's the only way that people can get up and get back into town. That's going to be a priority to maintain access. So it's a debate we'll have to have, and it'll be ongoing, I'm sure. And so we'll cross that bridge, pun intended, when we get there. I think that's all I had to say.
I guess on that note, I spent the last weekend at County College. Saturday was all about public works, and we're not alone in our struggles. Even the counties that have full funding and have money in their reserves are still not keeping up with their maintenance. And the cost, because of that, down the road is quite significant. But not all of us are as lucky as Klamath, who doesn't know what to do with their reserve. They're fortunate, but anyhow.
Well, cost, and so the state posted 6 visioning panels on transportation around the state this last year. I went to one over in Klamath, Transportation Commission, and I raised my hand to the proverbial bureaucrats in the room, and I said, you know, I've read your 40, 60-page report cover to cover. You know, you don't mention aggregate once. Like you see you build a road without aggregate. You know, I'm talking about how costs are going up all the time. You have such limited access to it. You couldn't mention it once, the foundational element of building a road. It just totally escapes me how people can have all of these thoughts and think creatively about funding it, but they never think about bringing the cost down. It's just my soapbox for a moment. Item 1A of the administrative calendar is approval of addendum to jail services contract between Josephine County and the City of Grants Pass.
I would move to approve this.
Item 1B is approval of contract between Josephine County and System Cascade Construction Incorporated for clearing and grubbing of the Grants Pass Airport West and their taxi lane project area.
I make a motion to approve the contract.
I'll second it.
Grub away. Sorry, it was a new word to me. It was kind of fun, grubbing. So.
Please call the roll.
Yes.
Motion carries. Item number 3A of the consent calendar is various minutes. Item 3B is order 2017-008 in the matter of the readoption of the Josephine County investment policy. Eve Arce is our treasurer, and in that elected capacity, she is responsible for managing all of the funds that are brought in through tax, property taxes, and other funds generated by the county. So we're about the third smallest amount of dollars that she manages from property taxes. It's the other 11 or 10 taxing districts that bring in the bulk share of the money that she manages on a given month. You can pay your taxes throughout the year, but in the interim between that money coming in and it going to those special taxing districts, she manages that, and it's governed by an investment policy that to provide for liquidity and maintain a secure portfolio. So just as an example, she can invest in this by this policy. There are no changes to this policy proposed. 100% of U.S. Treasury and various other things that she can invest percentage-wise. The local government investment pool is really what she's always trying to beat that number. It's a pretty low percentage, but it's supposed to be that way, low risk. Item number 3C is resolution 2017-010 in the matter of appointment to the Josephine County Animal Shelter Advisory Committee.
Chris Gleisner has been, she's been found qualified and is a representative of the Animal Welfare Organization, and she's willing to attend. I just would like to note that this committee meets every other week. It's a big committee. That's a lot of meetings. So anyhow.
Item number 3D is resolution number 2017-011 in the matter of reappointment to the Josephine County Parks Advisory Board. This is Doug Richardson. Douglas Richardson has been on there for a while, but a good asset to the board, and encourage his reappointment. Item number 3E is resolution 2017-012 in the matter of appointments to the local public safety coordinating council.
Alyssa Prince has been recommended by the council. She has a background with mental health, which is interesting. I think we, on the LIPSC, which local public safety coordinating council, haven't necessarily explored how all public safety and mental health integrate. And so having someone with that background, I think, will be beneficial. The other applicants have also, even though not recommended, have committed to attending, which is appreciated as well.
I think you're on that list, too.
I forgot about it. Yes, it is a committee that is convened by the Board of County Commissioners, and I have volunteered as, well, what I'm finding is already... I'm very familiar with what the LIPSCs do. I had the opportunity to go to the Capitol last Thursday on behalf of statewide LIPSCs and actually met the governor to express the need to continue some of the funding. And some of our other representatives, and so yes, I am recommending myself, apparently.
That's fine. Better you than me. Item number 3, that was Resolution 2017-013 in the matter of reappointment of the local alcohol and drug planning committee.
And this is a reappointment of our juvenile director, James Griffin. Partially for the Justice Reinvestment Summit and then County College, which is a cooperation between Oregon State University and the Association of Oregon Counties on effectively being a county commissioner and admin. And so Thursday was their day at the Capitol, and I had the privilege of testifying for the House Rules Committee. There were two bills presented by Representative Wilson, asking that we honor Deputy Alice Moran and Deputy Thomas Rice at the state level for the sacrifice they've given us in the line of duty deaths. Ms. Moran was the first female in Oregon to die in the line of duty. And Mr. Rice was her son-in-law. So for one family to lose two aircraft crashes at that is pretty it's amazing. The sacrifice that they've given for our community and for Oregon. And so it was my privilege to be able to testify on behalf of that. We also had a chance to talk with representatives. I had a chance to actually talk airports with Representative Dallas Hurd, who, interestingly, Josephine County has 4 representatives. Representative David Brock Smith has most of the west portion of Josephine County, and including our Ivy Airport is in his boundary, so I talked airports with him and economic development. Mr. Hurd has down to Merlin area, and then we spoke with also Mr. Wilson and Stark's offices about opportunities. Yesterday the goal was to testify before the House Revenue Committee on asking that the distribution of marijuana revenues, so the state has collected $60 million so far, asking that they route more to Josephine and Jackson County who are affected by the growing. Right now, the growing licenses are not included in the calculation for the distribution, but we not at the level that we'd like them to be. So we are asking that they contribute a greater amount to the production portions. And there was also a second bill as far as allowing local entities to increase the amount that the sales tax on the marijuana stuff. So I didn't testify on that one. I did testify on the canopy one. So there's some changes with that. It's a very different process to be before the state and see how their system works. But anything we can do to be at the table and saying that we have a need in Josephine County to, basically how I presented it is those in the cannabis community want to be a part of the solution, and they've said we want to be a part of the solution, and yet it's not coming back to Josephine County because we don't have the retail to compete with Portland and the other areas. So by being at the table, they heard us. We had representatives contact the attorney with Association of Oregon Counties already about how they can hear our plea and what's going on. So it's apparently was effective that the sheriff and I testified yesterday asking for those revenues. One other item. There is a Run for the Law in County United. It is going to be coming up on Saturday, March 4th at 8:30 a.m. And there is a way to register online. If anybody has a question about how to do that, I believe they can probably go to the Securing Our Safety website and see the Run for the Law. But their theme this year, again, is Run for the Law, a County United. It is going to be Saturday the 4th. They start up at Club Northwest and do a 5K and a 10K, and there's some cash prizes for the people that win each of those areas. And any more information, it says they can contact Holly Light. phone number offered, 541-660-8186, or can register online at securegetmeregistered.com. And that event is coming up. I think the opportunity for us representing many different backgrounds in our community, but being united as a whole of what how special Josephine County is, how unique we are, and that we can represent and allow people from all gamuts here, but we have one common thing: we love this place. And so how do we find a way to be united here and find commonality that we can agree on? So that's the items that I
find it pretty short. I was asked to testify up in Salem, I think it was last week. However, the committee bill that I actually was Representative Carl Wilson's bill, concept that we worked on together with the idea of, so the state has lands held in trust that used to be county lands, and so there's 15 of those counties in the state that have those county forest trust lands. Josephine County is the one with the smallest amount. We have 3% of the total holdings. It probably makes a lot of sense because we're also the county with the largest county holding of land. We've got about 30,000 acres of county land. The state holds in trust about 7,000 state acres. They really haven't managed that, and that's hence the lawsuit that Lynn County's filed, this class action lawsuit that Josephine County is elected to stay in and participate in. So the idea is that those 7,000 acres would be given back to the county and we would roll them into our portfolio. It wouldn't release the state of any liabilities that they've incurred in the past with a lack of management. I think some of the receipts that I've seen, the shared receipts, and those are direct payments from harvests that happen within the county, not like ONC acres. ONC acre distribution formulas, they don't have to cut a tree in Josephine County. We still get our 12.5% from whatever's cut anywhere in the whole ONC portfolio. Those would be rolled back, and they're actually pretty good timberlands. They're big sections, 16 and 36 sections. And so I think that'd be really positive. That's actually getting some reception in the Capitol. We just need to get the wording right. And even the some of the union, the public employee unions, are catching on to the idea that if the counties were managing these forest lands for higher revenues, then I could hire an appropriate level of people, and then that improves their situation. So kind of an ironic partner in this. Didn't anticipate that when I started out with that proposal, so that might actually have traction. Just taking, it's the bottom 10% of what we're advocating for is kind of like a pilot for the rest of the state. I know that they're looking to divest themselves of lands that they've found not able to manage for a revenue stream. It's costing the state a bunch of money to keep these lands, and it's not really generating anything for us here locally. So that kind of dovetails with the county doing a lot of different things over the years that isn't property tax-based to try to generate revenue. We can't do bake sales and car washes, but we can manage forest lands, and we can go after state agencies and federal agencies that aren't doing their job. And so right now, I think we've got more lawsuits than I've ever experienced or looked at in the past in a positive light. So we've got litigation against the mortgage and electronic registry reporting system, MERS. That was a lawsuit that was based on a Portland situation where large mortgage companies were not filing with the clerk every transaction when the mortgage was sold to somebody else. And that could be a real positive for the county. PERS were involved in about a $2.2 million lawsuit that we inherited from an organization the county chartered 15 years ago, the Rogue Workforce or Job Council. Says that there's a liability there about $4.5 million, of which Jeff and Josephine County would split. So our portion's roughly 2.2. We say we're not responsible for that. We don't believe that it actually exists. So we're kind of going after PERS on that situation. Like I mentioned, we're going after the state for their management of forest lands. And then we've got about three ONC lawsuits that we are diligently pursuing. The one from the past resource management plan. Properly, that's still in existence. We've got a lawsuit over the existing addresses is the 40,400 acres that Congress had already designated for management under the ONC Act. And the president lacks the authority, according to a 1940 solicitor's opinion, that says Congress has specifically set aside lands for one specific purpose. The president lacks the authority to redesignate those lands without a specific direction from Congress about that utilization. There was probably 48,000 acres that was encompassed in that total designation. So there's about 7,600 acres that isn't included. And that's another issue. What the president maybe wants to do with that acres, that may be up to him. But the other 40,000 acres, 400, those are ONC. You don't get to mess around with that formula as Congress says things can change. So we feel pretty good about those three. Actually, all six. It seems like I'm missing one, but it isn't at the top of my head right now. So I just want to express the fact that we're going after every stone unturned, not leaving a stone unturned to try to pursue outside funding. These are based on taxpayers. I think about these referrals and the one that we're putting forward right now through the lens of my mom and dad, who are on a very fixed income, and they're also going to be hit up from the Ivy Fire District and the Library District. They'll fall into that area. The concept of 93 cents for the average resident, I think Mr. Rice is right there, 155 is his assessed value or something close to that. Public record, I'm not disclosing anything that isn't a public record. But the idea is it's less than a little less than $12 a month is what the impact will be to the average person for the proposal that we're putting forward, 93 cents. All that to say, also, this is the last year that we'll be paying on the jail bond. That sunsets, thankfully, this November. That's about 13 or 14 cents that will go off of everybody's permanent tax bill. It's been there for the last 20 years. And so, really, it's not a new 93 cents after this year. It'll be an 80 cent impact. So probably closer to that $10 range for your average resident to provide for full jail funding for 5 years and juvenile detention. We don't talk about juvenile detention that much, but from my perspective, and it's limited, I don't know the law enforcement system the way Commissioner Morgan has been. You know, it's part of her life. She's had a previous her whole life was that. If we're not taking
starting
care
from the user of the technology.
Yeah, no. I'm gonna, if we don't start helping guide these youth when they make bad decisions, the problem just seems to compound as they get older, and the offense is more severe when they're adults. And so closing the juvenile detention facility is probably the biggest shortcoming of my career as a commissioner. I just don't think that was a penny-wise and a pound foolish in the long run. If we didn't fund that at a better level, because if we can't take care of the youth, they're not going to develop any good advice. It's just an occupational hazard of the system. So I think that's a real important thing we need to concentrate on. So I wanted to mention Mr. Seligman's point about secure rural schools. That's going to be an idea out there for a while. I just don't know. Where I know my personal conversations with Greg Walden, he and I see eye to eye from the standpoint that we're not opposed to a check coming from the federal government for not managing the forest lands. That's probably owed to us from the standpoint that that's the intent of the ONC Act, to provide for these communities. But without a forest management reform piece of legislation, which the House has passed three or four times, no, we're not doing a check anymore. We're going to get something, and then if there's a bridge payment associated with that forest management reform bill, absolutely, because it's going to take a couple of years before you can get the process down and actually cut trees. I encourage people to read House Bill 1526, and specifically I think it's Title II, which addresses ONC issues. There's a time restriction on how long anybody can file a lawsuit. It really restricts the situation that you're in, Mr. Baucus, to a defined timeline. You don't like the plan? You've got 6 months to file something, and it has to be resolved in a period of like 120 days. Otherwise, the plan stands as it was adopted by Congress, and it moves forward. There's some certainty built into that system where you don't have certainty. You don't know how long your process is going to last. Unfortunately, you or I both maybe not be young enough to experience the result of that situation. And that's not what the judicial system should provide for people. That's not justice. In our situation, we want better. So that's all I had to say right on the 10 o'clock hour. Thank you so much for attending and being patient with all that I had to say. Thank you, and have a good week. We're adjourned at 10:01.